Hey, what it do with the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me on social media.
I am Spike Lou on the same social site, still in the quarantine. How you holding up out there?
I'm good, man. Quarantine dreaming, eating chicken, eating beef, pause.
Quarantine dreaming. You couldn't wait to get back to the meat. Pause.
I'm right back, man. Animal Brown, a.k.a. the retired vegetarian, a.k.a. Steph Curry chicken, a.k.a. Martin Luther Wing. Let's get it. You like that?
You're a walking Arby's commercial. You bring the meats.
Shout out to my guy on Twitter, man, for that Steph Curry chicken. Good luck.
You've been writing those down. Yeah, you definitely been writing those down. Yeah, man. I mean, it's another week in quarantine, but shit coming around, though.
Slowly but surely, man. You'd be able to get a haircut this time next week.
That's wild. You back out in these streets. Atlanta, for the listeners didn't know. We are in Atlanta. And the Governor Kemp, has told the Georgia patrons that, hey, we back cracking Friday. Shit is back rolling.
Only certain things are back rolling.
Well, I mean, shit. It's weird what's back opening, because if you're trying to practice social distancing, the last thing you're going to do is go get a haircut. So that's really weird that bowling alleys, barbershops, nail salons, and beauty salons are opening up. That's really weird.
Very strange combination of businesses.
Yes, very much so. But we're here to talk about hip-hop, man, not the coronas.
Absolutely, man.
What we got up this week?
This week, Babyface and Teddy Riley battle twice.
Finally.
The Game loses his lawsuit, and we review West Side Gun's Pray for Paris album. But first, DaBaby, yo boy. Dropped his
and
third.
It's my boy.
Yeah, it's your boy. Dropped his third album in 13 months. Blame It on Baby. The album has been delivered with okay reviews. After the recent controversy facing with him and the fan a couple of weeks ago, combining with the okay reviews on his album, is his star diminishing?
Yes, and I think that it adds to him not being as versatile an MC as the fans would like him to be. We've known him here lately for only being in the headlines for doing crazy shit, whether it be hitting the fan, punching the valet, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that he makes bad music, but critics, halfway fans, people that don't really want him to be popping, that are not his fans.
Haters.
Whatever you want to call them, it's easy for a hater to hate on DaBaby right now. Like, I don't know what you thought about this album, but it wasn't it. It's not gonna be it. He needs to go back to what works for him, regardless if it sounds like one long song or not. So I think that his star is diminishing, and the reason being is because he hasn't found a way to adapt. And I'm not talking about changing your whole style. I'm not talking about him doing some of the stuff that he tried to do on this album. I'm just talking about being able to adapt to being previously one of the hottest rappers in the game. And that, like I said on our other show, not hitting the valet parking, not hitting the lady walking through the crowd, just carrying yourself more so like a rapper and not like a nigga that's walking around in North Carolina. Until he's able to do that, his star is going to continue to diminish. What do you think?
First of all, let's be very clear. During this quarantine time, no one is really truly hot. You can only be but so hot when nobody can come outside, when there's no touring, there's no shows.
Then don't drop an album right now.
Not many projects are dropping. Yeah, he dropped something, but... And it's a cool project, man. It's okay. He did try to switch the flow up. I do think his star is diminishing, but I think everybody's star is diminishing right now.
You shooting him, Bill, because you like him. Let's be honest.
I do fuck with his music, though. And I think he tried to do what so many people are crying about him, which is switching up his flow. And I don't think he needs to do that. I think his flow is original to him. And if he tries to switch it up and start being melodic like everybody else, then you sound like everybody else. Do you triple down, double down on being you and being original to yourself? I don't think it's the flow that's necessarily more repetitive than the subject matter is. Mm. I went platinum. I shot somebody in Walmart and bitches want me. That's basically the themes of every song.
And I used to sell weed. You forgot I used to sell weed.
Oh yeah, and I used to sell weed and shit back in Carolina. Like that him switching that up, like when he jumps on Dreamville shit, that's a breath of fresh air to people. Mm. They go, oh shit.
The intro.
The intro. That's a breath of fresh air to people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think if he did more of that, then people wouldn't be so stuck on his flow. Because honestly, everybody has their kind of their brand. You know what I'm saying? Like Migos raps a certain way. Lil Baby raps a certain way. You come to expect mm-hmm. that when you hear them on records. So switching that up, I don't think it's bad. It's just adding some sauce and some flavor. I don't want him sounding like 80% of the rap game trying to sing, trying to be melodic, man. That's not original. Stay true to you. Just switch up the subject matter and flex the bars just a little bit more. I think he'll be straight.
It makes sense to me. You brought up a good point during that rant. You said that no one was hot during the quarantine anyway. Question for you. And then we obviously are able to play armchair quarterback here, and we see what he's done in hindsight.
Yep.
If you're on the Baby's team, if he's a part of your label, do you think that he's one of the artists that's hot enough now to like sustain a quarantine? Obviously, we know now that he's not, but would you have thought that going into this? Would you have dropped the album?
Yeah, I think it's on brand for him. That again, that's his third album in 13 months. He's striking. He's the epitome of striking while the iron is hot, not to mention countless features. Mm-hmm. So if there was anybody to drop right now, it would be him. It makes sense. I don't think it's smart to do that, me personally, but it's on brand for him, though.
I disagree with you 100%. I don't think that it was smart to drop right now, nor do I think it's on brand. I think that he got some bad advice. And really, I don't want people to get me wrong here, because the Baby is a talented artist, but he benefits a lot from the label. Like he benefits from the help, the promotion. All artists do, but him especially in his ascension to being the best artist in the game. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, that's fair.
And with that being said, like I just don't understand why a label would green light, a manager would suggest, an agent would suggest, anybody would say, hey, right now is the perfect time for you when all the offices are closed. No one's really doing marketing and promotion right now. It's totally 100% on you to go to Instagram, go to social media and get people to buy in and do this. And I don't think that he's not that guy. He may be good and everything that we agreed to, but he ain't Lil Uzi. He ain't that guy that can be like, look, this is what we finna do. Y'all hop on my Twitter. I'm finna say some funny shit. I'm finna beef with Playboi Carti, and I'm selling 350, and then I'm coming back out, and I'm selling 180.
Yeah.
Like, I can do that during the quarantine because I'm Lil Uzi, and I think that Lil Baby's team should know and his label should know that he's not that guy, and it ain't on brand.
To be fair, it is quiet right now, so some people have to listen to something. Mm-hmm. So
that's a way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. So it's like, okay, it's quiet. It's the road less traveled. A lot of people have pushed their shit back. I know Big Sean was supposed to have dropped. Kendrick was supposed to have dropped. A lot of people were scheduled to drop, mm-hmm. so they've backed out. So it's like, shit. Why not? People need something to listen to in between these IG battles and shit. So you can look at it like that. You know what I mean? That's one way to look at it.
True. I just don't think the Baby's that guy, though. I think that to do. Now, what, and we can let people in behind the curtains even a little bit before we move on here, even to do now, and like we decided to go with Westside over the Baby right now, and it's true. Because he's garnered more interest, and I point solely to Westside Gunn for that. Like, he's the nigga that's like, I'm the fly god, I'm on here with the 3/4 link, like, long shit on Jimmy Kimmel, like mm-hmm. I'm that dude, and I'm putting people on my wave. And I think the difference in those two, if we're comparing them as artists or just comparing dropping right now, Westside can generate that. He can generate like exactly what he's looking for even through the drought right now, and I don't think the Baby can.
That's fair.
Yep. Cool. Next up, man, we got the much anticipated, highly waited on. I know that means the same thing, but I just want to fill in space right there. Babyface and Teddy Riley. Mm. First, we had to wait, and then they had to re-record on a Monday before we got that battle. Now, I want to know from you, was it worth the wait based off what you've seen and, you know, what you got yesterday or Monday?
I think, first of all, Saturday was probably the worst time for Swiss and Timberland to have, you know, a crash and burn on this Versus series. They did a lot of promotion. I'm talking about they was on like Good Morning America and they was on a gang of shit. And it showed because about 300,000 people joined on Saturday before Babyface even got on. Mm-hmm. So clearly the promotion worked because people were tuned in. They had terrible technical difficulties. Teddy Riley was doing the absolute most.
Trying to capitalize
and revitalize his career in one night.
Jesus Christ.
He blew that. I will say, though, to answer the question, was it worth the wait Monday when we got the rematch? I think it was. I thought it was super dope, even with a little bit of the technical difficulties Monday night. They were a little more bearable. I think, if I'm not mistaken, at a time, maybe 511,000 were in there at once. Mm-hmm. This sounds crazy to say, but some people couldn't even get in. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's crazy. Niggas wasn't even getting in the club.
Niggas couldn't even get in. It was exclusive. I seen celebrities in there comment like, "Yeah, I finally got in." Like that's it was crazy. Wild, but it was super dope for the culture. Like them niggas, man, they basically wrote every fire R&B song from the late 80s to the early 90s. Like they're pretty much responsible for half of that shit. So it was super dope to see two goats go at it, man. And I'm sure a lot of people got a history lesson and some people got nostalgia. So it was definitely worth the wait, man. Big look for Swizz and Timbaland with their Versus series.
Yeah. I think that, man, you would have to. I don't even know what you would have to do for this to be a failure. Like Teddy Riley and Babyface would have to literally show up drunk and like pull a Sean Garrett. With that being said, I do think that this was a success and I did enjoy it. But also another takeaway that I got from it is that everybody ain't built for these battles.
That's a fact.
As Sean Garrett has shown us, these two guys both have like hits. Hits.
Smashes.
But they weren't entertaining, though. Like, that was the most boring battle of them all, even though there were dope songs being played. So they were, you know, it was basically the nostalgia of the songs for everybody listening, which is fine. That's what we're here for. But I was looking at them like, bro, these niggas. Like, Babyface was clearly only doing a favor for somebody. Like, my nigga, if someone had told him he didn't have to be there, he wasn't going to show up.
He was very funny,
and I think it was a very dismissive type of funny, like a very, almost I want to call it arrogance as to like, I'm doing y'all a favor by being here, so I'm going to make the best of this by making fun of this nigga who looks like a clown and playing these smashes. That being said, Teddy Riley took a totally different approach. Like you said he was trying to get his groove back. I think that's a little strong, but he's trying to capitalize off this moment. Yep. And I ain't mad at him for that. I fought whoever was in his crew the first time, Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about this all the time with big marketing firms. We're like, man, who was in the room when they agreed to this? I know we were talking about it with H&M when they wore the gorilla shirt or whatnot. It ought to be somebody young enough on Teddy Riley team when they seen the nigga with the headpiece getting ready for the IG live on Saturday. Like, unk, hold up, unk. You doing too much, unk.
Yeah.
Take it off. Just grab the phone. Grab you something that's going to sound good and let's ride. My man dancing in the back here, the headphone jig, you blowing standing it up with the mic. No, unk, you're doing too much. Somebody should be around Teddy Riley young enough to know what it said. Because I ain't going to lie, I seen the perfect meme after this was over on Saturday. They said, like, as soon as I seen the headphone thing with the flip-up trucker, the trucker headphones, as soon as I seen it, I knew it was going to be a wrap. I knew that something wasn't going to go right. Because like you said, Teddy Riley was like, you're doing a little too much. And I don't think you really understand what this is. But they did get to regroup, and I did enjoy that. People behind as much classic music and stay behind, like, you'd have to be an idiot to fumble it. So I enjoyed it, but I just think, like, everybody ain't built for these. I think the focus next time needs to be more so on who can put on a show, who be entertaining. Ray J was in the comments talking about he wanted to battle someone in these, and while Ray J may not have the resume,
no
entertaining he would be.
He's good enough for an opening act.
Like, if somebody did five songs.
Exactly. He can do like five for five.
Him and Nick Cannon could be the opening act for
Absolutely
one.
Not.
That would be a good one right there.
Nick Cannon
and
one.
Ray J?
Man. Yeah, one song.
He got three Eminem disses he going to play.
Man, nobody know that shit. He better play that Gigolo with R. Kelly, and everybody going to look at him crazy because R. Kelly is off limits right now.
Nick Cannon got to have more songs than just Gigolo, dude. Nah.
Nigga better play clips from Drumroll. I mean, Drumline. Nigga better play clips from movies, nigga. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, man, let me look up Nick Cannon's songs.
The question is, where do they go from here, though? Because there's rumors of Puff and Dre. So, you know, some say they may go back kind of like Backpack with Havoc and Alchemist stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of I don't mind the balance. You can do the big pop star shit with the big crossover rap stars. You can go, you know, Backpack with the hip hop head shit. And then you can go R&B. You can go songwriter. There's a lot of different directions. And I'm not necessarily mad at any one of them. But, man, it's going to be tough. 511,000, bro, with people not being able to get in, breaking Instagram. Like, that's going to be tough, dude. That's going to be tough to miss. I mean, top to top.
I think it's, in my opinion, I think the obvious direction is they're going to make this a game show. They're going to take this and they're going to turn this into something. It may not be as good, but they're definitely going to turn this into something where it's a game show. And the way that you do that is you're going to categorize the music and give people an option to pick, you know, to pick the songs under this category, the best rapper with an R&B feature, things of that nature. Like, I know we've talked about it behind the scenes and try to put something together, but I'm going to let the cat out the bag a little bit here as to where I see this going. Because, you know, people still out, big companies come still out of deals all the time. With that being said, yeah. I think that's what's going to happen. Like, they're going to turn this into a game show. You heard it here on the On Deck TV podcast first. They're just going to categorize the music that you can play. They'll pick two people. They'll have famous judges, similar to like American Idol. They'll use the crowd to say who played the better song, and you can win money from it. Like, they're going to make it a big thing. I think that that's the next wave of this, is like a game show, like turning this into, what's that shit? Did somebody host it now? Like, do you know the lyrics? Is it like Jamie Foxx or somebody hosted?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know who hosted, but they're going to turn this into something like that.
I can see that, man. And real quick, too, I noticed that Puff and Dre, they're talking that might be pay-per-view. You think that's a good idea?
Nah, I don't. See, now that's dumb. Because now you just, in my opinion, you're just being disrespectful. Like, what pay-per-view for what? Like, who needs the money?
What if they said that was going to COVID victims?
Man, well, and then, nah, I just don't buy that. Mm. And they've been able to capitalize off of this, like, and no knock to Swiss or Timberland, but like their name ain't been this hot. Especially, we just mentioned how hard it is to be ringing through the COVID stuff. They've proven a concept. I don't think that the answer to that is pay-per-view and charging people to see Puff and Dre, because then you got too many ways to fuck it up. Then, like, it gotta be a good show.
It gotta be flawless. You're
trying to live up to these things that people are expecting just because they spent $15.99. Mm. As opposed to me being able to pick up my phone and look at it and tell somebody about it and it garnered way more attention than that.
I'm interested to see where it go, man.
Yeah, me too.
Next up, man, we got The Game. Back in 2016, The Game was ordered to pay $7 million in damages to Priscilla Rainey, a reality show contestant who claimed that he sexually assaulted her. Now, The Game has been on record saying that she would not get a dime. Well, it looks like she's getting a dime and a little bit more than that. A judge has awarded her all royalties from his Born to Rap album, and his label Prolific Records has been seized to pay for the lawsuit. This is a big deal, little deal, or no deal for Jaycion Taylor.
I think this is a very big deal, and you can say the things that he said in public. I feel like, in my opinion, if you're a rapper, he has an image that he's trying to live up to. If on the legal side, you're able to back it up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you're able to legally say, hey, I'm going to do this because I got lawyers in place to make sure she's not going to get this, that, and the third, then I get it. But even if he can come out and say, well, I only did Born to Rap because I knew this was going to happen and somebody gave me the advice of it, and I only started that record label because I knew she was going to take it, and there's really nothing there. Sounds good now. Backlash, but your name is still in the headlines as to you lost this, as to you didn't pay this, so you're still going to get drugged through the ringer by the people that don't like you. And you're a 40-year-old rapper. Like, this is the last type of thing that you should be getting mentioned for. Like, people your age, like, are T.I. Like you see what he's doing with Expeditiously. Yeah. Jeezy, he just got a headline for getting married. Rick Ross is in the news for more expansions of his restaurants. And you're in the news for losing your company to a woman who said you sexually assaulted her. Before that, you said she'd never get a dime. So I think if he just even looks around at the people that came in with him, like, he should feel a little disappointed in himself. Like, he shouldn't even be associated with this shit.
That's a fact. There's so many layers to this. It's ridiculous. First off, the he said, she said nature of this incident in question is already wild. Then, second off, one of the biggest reasons they say she won the lawsuit is because Game didn't even show up to court in 2016 when he was supposed to kind of battle this. And he didn't even show up.
Thank you to Game.
And then third, WAC 100 put a post on Instagram saying that he controls all of the royalties from Born to Rap. So he's confused on how she's getting anything. So now WAC 100 done jumped in. This is nuts. Now, this is a $7 million lawsuit. So she's supposed to recoup, you know, once she gets that $7 million and it's supposed to be done. Whether this is a big, little, or no deal is up to Game and his bank account. I don't know how much he needs them $7 million right
he
now.
He ain't got $7 million to give nobody. And I ain't saying that he broke or nothing like that, but, you know, like,
that's a lot of money. Cash. Assets, that's a lot of cash.
Get liquid to hand over to somebody and be like, here you go, $7 million.
Well, he's, like, here's not the thing. He's not handing it over. It's just, it's what comes from this album. And will this album generate $7 million?
But the number was $7 million before they took this album and the record company, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be this, you know, until it gets to seven.
Huh. I mean, this goes to the point where shit come back to bite you in the ass. I mean, legally, from a legal standpoint, a man has been rapping since 2005, and it's 15 years later. He should even like this, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to the victim here at all. But if I'm Game, the smart thing for this to do and for to happen here was this not to ever make it to court.
Yep.
Like, I'm sure that there was a number that was less than $7 million that was presented to him before it got this far.
He wouldn't have known. He didn't show up to court to hear the number.
Or even if they made the number in negotiation before they decided to go to court. We've watched enough TV to know and know enough to know that, like, even the lawyers probably were, if Game has representation, I'm not even sure if he has that now. Mm. But her representation, sure, I'm sure they reached out and they're like, look, hey, this is what we got. Here's the evidence against it to know that we're going to win. What are you willing to pay us if we don't take this any way forward?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. He's supposed to be able to squash this shit. I don't see no other rapper in his category that would have been able to nip this shit in the bud.
Low key, though, this is all karma for naming his label Prolific Records, though. This is all karma. Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle.
Yep, came back to
bite. It looked like a shuck when it happened. Him selling merch and shit with fam, getting his hair braided like Nipsey on IG. This is all karma, dude. You don't do shit like that, bro. That's clown shit, fam.
And now look what he's associating that with. Now look what that's associated with. Look
and that
what
album
Nip
was
did
fucking
to
fire, too.
Album was really good. But he's associating that Prolific name to this shit now.
You see, Nipsey rolling over in his goddamn grave, dude.
She should be able to get $7 million from her. You gotta be able to liquidate assets from a record label and get $7 million, right?
That record label was 6 weeks old, dude.
What they got? Recording equipment? Like, what kind of assets does
nigga,
a record
the t-shirts,
label have?
Bro, like the merch.
Jesus, that's it. That's the only. Yeah, you're right. I mean, because you don't have to have any assets to have a record label now.
Who bought that? Who bought the shirts now? Like, you can't wear that. She's slaw now, man.
Would they be like collector's items in like 10 years, like 2030?
Oh, not pot. Well, it depends on what, if anything else comes from this. Because that album was incredible. But it didn't make noise like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, something tragic would have to happen. And I ain't even going to say it, but something bigger would have to happen other than this.
This is why hip hop needs a Hall of Fame and a union. Because they would come in and buy all of these shirts from her. That way she gets some money and just put them all in the Hall of Fame and tell the whole story of how this amazing album was affected by this dumbass lawsuit that Game not dumb on the sense of what happened, but
right.
One that he could have taken care of.
That's a fact.
Now, next, we have the last topic before we get into this West Side Gun Rhapsody's album, Eve, the one that she just recently dropped, will be taught at UNC Chapel Hill and at Ohio State University.
Hard.
Very hard. Kudos to her. What other albums do you think deserve to be taught?
Well, first of all, shout out to that album. And I actually like that Rhapsody album. I think that was a nice bounce back from the project before.
Bounce back.
Yeah, Super Bounce Back. That's super dope. So the course description I see. Layla's Wisdom? Who?
Layla's Wisdom?
Yeah, that ain't none. You notice where nobody's teaching that. All right. They're teaching this Eve. The Eve was fire. The course description says, quote, using critical reading and listening skills, students will present original research on hip hop history, black womanist criticism, and critical theory. So this is, and they're going to go song for song. This is basically like a school version of Dissect, which if you listen to Dissect, it's, you know how dope that is, and how I remember how excited I used to get to see what album they were going to do next. So that's super dope. If I had to choose an album that I think could be taught in school, I would go Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap. I think the class wouldn't just be limited to examining the album, but it would also include like his career and the quote unquote race, so to speak, culminating to the Victory Lap. I think you could center it around entrepreneurship and tell a super dope story and just have it centered around the project. I think that would be super dope. If you look at some of the song titles, it fits perfectly. And if you look at some of his old interviews and some of the things that he said and some of the entrepreneurial avenues that he was into, they tie in perfectly to the Victory Lap. Like, it's one of those albums that's titled flawlessly. It makes so much sense. There's a story behind all of it. And a lot of people may not catch it if they just got put onto him from this album or when he died, you know what I'm saying? So you could tell the whole story and you can learn a lot from it. So I think that would be something dope if somebody taught that in a college of some sort.
That's good. That's a good lane to take. I think Nipsey and a lot of people have that to learn from it and further in his name. The obvious answer is already being taught, and I have to throw that out there because of the show and how much you hate To Pimp a Butterfly.
No,
but that's already being taught by professors, so kudos to them. UGK's Riding Dirty. And UGK's Riding Dirty is one of my favorite albums, but I think that you could take a perspective on it. Bun B teaches courses. He said the goal of the album for them was a night in Houston and how two teenage guys grow up in a night in Houston, them going out on the town. I think him being able to articulate just the difference between Southern hip hop and the rest of hip hop at that time, them being one of the earlier groups, as I've seen from the Hip Hop Evolution show on Netflix, you know, just how Texas was different from New York and how it was different from L.A. and they had their own thing going still, but how it still was influenced by those places. I think that would be a good look at how Southern hip hop evolved into what we've seen in Riding Dirty. It wasn't the first album, it wasn't the second album, but it was probably their best album and what many people attribute to being a classic piece of Southern hip hop, you know, I mean, music. I think that would be very dope to be taught and explore more to Pimp C. Some of the things that you deal with, like murder, as far as the song on there, where they're talking about one day you're here, the next day you're gone, where you're talking about your friends and stuff that you lost, diamonds against the wood, talking about friends and who and what you can trust growing up, where you grow up, and like what adds and takes from that. I think it would be a very dope album to take a look at, especially if people want to know more about Southern hip hop.
Yeah, and like that could also kind of play into like the psychology of the people growing up in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Like, because they're from a small town outside of Houston, people don't know Port Arthur, Texas.
Mm.
So it just kind of even, not even more so a night in Houston, more so a night on a small outside town. Like if we had Nashville, maybe it would be Springfield. Or it would be Lebanon or something like that.
Gotcha. Something small, not necessarily a big metropolitan city.
Exactly, but close enough.
Yeah.
Where you know what's going on.
Nah, that's killers.
I would be excited about that.
That would be super dope, man.
Sign me up for both of those.
Nah, that's a fact. But shout out to Rhapsody though, man. That's super dope. Yeah. Shout out to these colleges too, Ohio State University and UNC Chapel Hill. That's not UNC, UNC, is that something different?
Yeah, I think that is UNC. I think that's the Tar Heels.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was something different. Oh, that's cold, dude.
You know, she's from there, right? She's from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I think that she may have some ties to them because she played basketball.
She looked like she played basketball.
Tough. She was 1,000,000% a hooper.
She could beat you, too.
No.
She's crazy as fuck.
She's too short. UNC Chapel Hill is 100% the Tar Heels. I just Googled it.
Oh, that's dope, dude. Wow.
That is fire. And it was another school too, right?
Yeah, Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah. So two big schools.
That's nuts, man. It makes me wish I would have stayed in college. Actually, no, didn't none of this shit exist when I went. Fuck that.
I was gonna say, they weren't teaching this shit when we was in school.
All right, man, let's get to this album review. Westside Gunn, one third of Griselda, his third studio album. It's called Pray for Paris. It dropped over the weekend. Saw a lot of people talking about this. Like you referenced earlier, it was between this and DaBaby, and DaBaby's response was lukewarm. When all I heard, I got hit up constantly all weekend, like, hey, this Gunn's
stupid. A whole lot of new Griselda fans out there, boy.
Yeah, now I like what they're doing with it, and we'll talk about it to see kind of if it lived up to their kind of growing brand. What were your expectations going into it?
To be banging. 100%. I mean, like, if people listen to the show, they know I pointed my finger at Westside Gunn to be one of the MVPs last year, and I did think that he would capitalize even more on his way out. As we said, he said he was going to stop rapping at some point this year, so I thought that he would capitalize on the success that Griselda has had and also capitalize on the name just being as big as they are now compared to where they came out. This is the perfect time for him to put out an album like this. So this is what I expected. Even when I seen the artwork, like, I expected this to be as commercial as you could get for a Griselda album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's nothing at all. There's no single. I still don't mean that type of commercial, but just a whole different. I think that he expected a lot more eyes to be on this album. And I expected him to perform like a lot more eyes. It's like game seven. This is like being in the finals. This is that type of album for him. So that's what I was expecting. What were you expecting?
My expectations were pretty low.
Why?
He's my least favorite out of the Griselda camp. And it's not that his solo projects are slaw, but they don't hit to me like that.
How often is the leader of the group your least favorite?
That's very rare.
Error.
That's very rare. But I think anybody with ears would say that he's the least skilled out of the three.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Just on some rapping shit. Now, he got the sauce and the flavor.
Yeah, he's an acquired taste.
There you go. Yeah, it's an acquired taste. So yeah. His projects don't hit to me like that. Like, they're cool, but I don't find myself wanting to run them back the same way I'll run back, Plugs I Met with Benny or Lulu with Conway. Like, I'm running those back. But I will say, when I first heard this, though, I thought to myself, hold on, this one hit a little different, though. Like, this one is hitting a little different. I was feeling this from the opening auction intro to the closing 41st minute of the album, dude. Like, I thought this motherfucker was fire. Like, first go round, and it actually made me think, damn, have I been sleeping on the other projects? What, Supreme Blientele, Fly God is an awesome God. That's the mixtape.
The Hiller Wears Hermes
series. I'm like, damn, did I sleep on this shit? Because, like, this shit is hidden. I thought the production was fire. It wasn't as stripped down as it can be sometimes. Like, they actually added some drums and a little bit of tempo on a couple of these. So it wasn't just the same loop sample, no drums, no bass, no kick, no nothing. They mixed it up a little bit on here, and I thought it helped with the flow of the album. So this one hit a little different to me. Am I tripping? Is this different from the other ones, or is this on par?
I think that you're right. I think that this, adding to my point and what you just said, I think that he came in this like, is this game seven? Like, this is my LeBron moment against the Celtics or against the Pistons when he hit 50 on y'all. This is my Super Bowl. This is my comeback. I think that he knew from all the work that they had been putting in that his next project, this Pray for Paris, was the one where they're going to get new eyes, like I said, and he came to show out. And I think that he did that. I do think that this sounds bigger. I do think that it stays true to their sound that we're used to, but it's still, like you said, even with their little bit more features, with Tyler on here, they stuck to it. The features that they usually have with Freddie Gibbs and Boldy James, but even those songs, they still sounded like a little bigger. Versace is easily my favorite song on this. Soon as I heard that, added to the playlist. But I do agree with you. This sounds a little bit bigger than the previous projects, man. And like, I usually don't say this. I usually leave this to you because I'm not a merch guy. But I seen the cover art for this, dude. Get me this merch now. Yeah. Where do I buy this Pray for Paris?
It's out too.
Jesus, I bet that's killer. Let me
look. Yeah, he got the merch too. That's a fact.
What is it on that website?
That's a great question. I'm gonna find it. But it's out though, and it's got that graphic, you know what I'm saying, on it and all of that. So it's kind of tough. I can't even lie. I'm fucking with they. I'm fucking with what they got going on. I'm fucking with the whole camp. You know what I'm saying? But this project hit. Like, I ain't gonna lie, this motherfucker hit.
Yeah.
It's really straight through. If I had to go through kind of some of my highlights, I thought the features stood out, especially the outside of the box features like Wale and Tyler the Creator. Like, those aren't the type of people that you would think would associate, or that Griselda would associate with. You think they'd keep it 1,000% hoodie artist. You know what I'm saying? You think the Gibbs, you think Jada, Lox, grimy cast like that. But they went outside of the box, and I think it worked. Even though I'm not even the biggest Tyler the Creator fan on this particular song, I just like that he did something different, and he had somebody that you wouldn't expect. Just different
that you ain't used to hearing on there with them. I agree.
I like that energy, and the Wale song, I thought that song was banging. I thought his feature was just right for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm very interested to see who else they collab with. I know Benny and Drake, they've had pictures together and supposedly are working. And you think to yourself, how can that make sense? Like, without it being corny, or without it being a lame attempt at a crossover record. We don't need Benny and Conway sliding to the left, lift up your left leg, sliding to the right way. We don't need that. But I see now they have the talent to make it work, especially if Gunn is behind it. He's got the mind for it.
I agree, and those sentiments are 100% correct. I think that those guys are talented enough when we're talking about Benny and you're talking about Conway for the bars. Like, I don't think that we would see anything come out of that camp that we would turn our nose up. Like, I ain't going to see, like you said, Benny in no video dancing.
Right.
I just don't see that happening. And I think that those guys are they smart enough to know that, as we've seen from everything that they rolled out. The question that I have, and I was thinking about this while you were talking about it, just from the pictures and seeing Benny and Drake together, these are artists, because they stick to their style so much and we don't expect them to stray. I can't remember the last time, other than maybe Kendrick and the big names, and there were guys like, man, I can't wait to hear this. I can't wait to hear a Drake and Benny record, just because I have no idea what to expect. I can't wait to hear Conway and Rihanna or some crazy like that, because you know it's going to happen. You see them getting over into that lane, and you know eventually it's going to get to a point where it is a little watered down. It's inevitable. It's hip-hop. It has to happen for them to make the money that they want to make. But right now, while they still in their pocket, while they still got that grime on them, every big person that I see them with, the first thing in my head is, I can, not that it won't work or how they going to do it, but I can't wait to hear it. Because West Side Gunn going to be behind it, because Conway going to come with the bars, because Benny going to come with the bars. So I haven't heard that in a long time. It's very refreshing coming from that camp. Do you agree with that?
I'm excited about what they got going on. I know that he said that he was going to stop rapping and focus more on the business end.
I don't think that's a bad decision.
Yeah, no, I think he needs – he's not a rapper, though. Let's be honest.
Right.
He's not a rapper. You know what I'm saying? This kind of reminds me in a way of, like, Baby and Manny. Like, they not rappers, obviously. It was just more of – just the image and the vibe, the swag, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more about that than it is anything else. But then it is like bars and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But Paris187.com is the merch, by the way.
I see it. Yeah, that shirt killing it real, and I need it.
And I think it's sold out, too.
Oh, man. And the Paris. He got the scorpion on there from your boy. I remember that. Do you remember we talked about that as a topic? They beefed a long time. Well, not even when he actually beefed.
Yeah, it was just Drake was hot at
them about the scorpion shit when the scorpion shit came out, and they said they was the first one on that because he was doing the wrestling shit too.
Yep.
Funny.
Oh, and speaking of that, another of my highlights, I thought the pacing of the album was good. I thought it was smooth, steady. It didn't feel like it was too short when it ended. It didn't feel like I needed more when it wrapped up. I thought the pacing was very well, even with the skits. I thought it had super dope skits, real nice quotables, classic wrestling joints. Some of my favorite, three of my favorite songs, I go George Bondo. Benny is on a tear. He bodied both of his features. He's on a roll. Allah sent me.
Nigga in a zone.
That, he might be the hardest rapper out right now. I might go ahead and put that stamp on. Like, he is body bagging shit. And then $500 ounces with Gibbs, Fire. All three of those go hard. You mentioned one. I know you mentioned
Versace.
Versace was your favorite. Give me two more that stood out.
I say Versace as soon as I heard like the beat and shit come in about 10 seconds in, I knew Click saved that to my, like I said, playlist. Claiborne Click with my boy Bodie James. I liked that. And I liked, it's hard to decide on that last one, man. I guess I'm going to go George Bondo.
Yeah,
because Benny murdered it.
Yeah, he killed
it. So those would be my top three. And also, I like the song with Freddie Gibbs, the $500 ounces. Him and Rock Marciano, I think, came and did their thing on that. It was a song that fit him and Gibbs. I just like the whole album's cohesive and how it ran together. But those are my favorite three.
What didn't work?
If we had to go with what didn't work, I'm not saying that this is a classic album or anything, but it lived directly up to my expectations. And I'd be nitpicking to say some like I didn't like the party with Pop Smoke song. That was one that just wasn't really it for me, and it felt like it was kind of forced.
Yeah.
But if I had to nitpick with one thing, that would be it. What didn't work about it for you?
Now, I mentioned all three of my favorite joints. If you notice, they all had features. The solo joints were just okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's much better with features. And that's nitpicking. They weren't trash. They just didn't work as well when he's got somebody riding shotgun with him. I thought the song with Bodie James was fire, but I could have done without the chopped and screwed gun vocals. I wanted a regular verse from him. I wanted a regular verse. But with that being said, that song is still hard, though.
Fire.
Like, it just... Bro, like, dude fits perfectly with them, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's
a cheat code, bro. That's like Golden State getting, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say he Durant, but you know what I'm saying? It's just making a good team better. And that's a perfect pickup, bro. Like, it just, he's similar but distinct from them at the same time. It's crazy. The album is banging, man. If I had to give it a rating, I would say it's 4 out of 5 reels. It's fire. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is because I've warmed up to West Side Gunn listening to these other projects, because I'm thinking to myself, if I played this for somebody who's never heard of him, how would they feel? Would they be like, nigga, why is he holding out his shit, bro? Why is he boom 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 boom? Like, what is this?
You know what though? You're right about that, but I do think that even a novice rap fan that wasn't up on him will walk away from this and be like, this is different. And I think that's what he's going for. Like, you listen to the Baby's album, and though I won't say he does have a unique sound, you listen to it as a novice rapper, and you're like, okay, this is this dude rapping. And I'm not shitting on him anything. West Side Gunn shit is just, it's different. Mm. And it's not really explainable. He's rapping, as you said, but it's more like Baby and Manny, and it's more sauce and I even think that a rookie listening to that would be like, hey, this, I don't know what the fuck this is, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But they going to hate it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you give it, though? What did you think?
I gave it 4 out of 5 reels. Easy. Fire.
Yeah.
Like, not even a question. Definitely in the rotation. Now, interesting thing that I seen on that Paris 187, if you looked it up, this nigga is selling the prints of the album.
Yeah, they've been doing
that. A little bit about, it's fire.
Yeah,
$100 for the print of the album. I would definitely hang this up in my career.
They sold out
both
too.
Of them. Yeah, I'm hot about that too.
That's,
but you can
that's
find somebody
one
to pop
thing,
it there. That's killing.
But he's been doing. They've been doing that for a while. They'll do the prints of their artwork, and they always sell out, bro. Like, they always sell out. But that's something different that everybody not doing.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea too.
Yep. Make them.
And that's what we need to probably shape that episode around, is like, if you could do like the prints of albums and have them hanging in your house, which albums would they be?
Oh, you talking about in terms of the best album
cover?
Yeah,
the best album covers. Like, yeah, that would be fire. Like, you have, which ones would you have hanging up in your house?
Also, check out his GQ interview with him and Virgil Abloh, which is, that's interesting.
West Side and Virgil?
Yeah.
I bet that's good. Yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, man.
I ain't listen to that shit.
Will this make your top 10?
Yeah, Westside doing this thing, man. It's gonna be very close. It ain't better. It ain't my favorite. Damn, let me clear that up. In the running for me so far is Boldy James as far as my favorite album. But it's going to be in the top five, top 10 for sure. I don't see a lot, especially with everything that happened. Yeah. I don't know how much more music we're going to see or got coming up, but I think it's going to have a good chance. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know yet, but it will be memorable. I will be revisiting it. For sure. And maybe this downtime will help this album. You know what I'm saying? It might be graded on a little bit of a curve at the end of the year because some people may not drop like they thought. So this may end up making the top 10. I wouldn't be mad if somebody had it in theirs, though. I would understand it. I highly recommend it. It's banging.
Yeah, depending on what much more we see this year. I agree.
Y'all let us know, man, what y'all think. Go to Facebook on the Rap Chat group. Let us know how you feel about it. Go to IG at On Deck TV Podcast. Let us know how you feel about this West Side Gun. Pray for Paris. We got some wins and losses to pass out. Shout out to Joyner Lucas, man. He has a W for his Tully app getting a new investment from Sony Music. I think they invested a couple of M's into it. Tully is an app that he, alongside his co-founder, created in 2015. It is for songwriters and musicians to upload their music and sessions seamlessly collaborating with people long distance. So shouts out to him. Big look for him. He dropped his ADHD earlier this month.
Big shout out to him for that. Always up to see entrepreneurs doing their thing. I don't know about that name, though. Like, I don't understand what that means.
Tully, yeah. What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. Maybe I need to do a little bit more research as a broadcaster on my end. But when you Google it, first thing that pops up is a Charlize Theron movie. So it's not what you want at all. Like, I got to type in Joyner Lucas' full name. So wins and losses. Wins and losses, folks.
It's supposed to be for artists, and like you can upload literally every facet of the music making process, from penning the lyric sheet to the background vocals to ideas being mixed on one. It's kind of like what is that group chat thing that businesses use on projects?
Slack.
Yeah, it's kind of like Slack. It's kind of like that, but for like. You know, music.
The audio isn't involved in it? You have... That's weird.
The files and everything. Like, the whole nine.
That's some smart nigga shit, man.
That's over my head right there.
And it's a movie that came out with Charlize Theron in it, 2018.
I remember that. I ain't watch it, but I
was going to ask you, did you see it, Mr. Movie Buff?
I am a movie buff. I've seen everything that came out past 1996. That is true.
Oh, please.
Everything quality.
It follows the friendship of a mother and her friends of three and her nanny.
I see why I missed that. That's some fried green tomato shit. Man. Got an L to pass out to Blueface, man, for ignoring social distancing. A girl fight broke out at his video shoot. A video went viral of him commentating a girl fight on his IG. It was clearly 15, 20 people in the crib with him. Blueface continuing to make himself relevant by doing goofy shit.
I don't think I've ever been more wrong in a purchasing stock of an artist than I have with purchasing the Blueface stock when we did those predictions. I'm selling fast. I'm selling quick. I'm selling at all prices. It all must go. I was out of there when he had got into it with his moms and showed no remorse. Even if he felt that way, I just don't feel like that's a relationship that you expose to the internet. It's just not my type of guy, and this continues to prove it. So, yeah, L from me.
Yeah. He tripping. Then lastly, we have a W to French Montana and Jim Jones for squashing their 15-year-old beef, man. The two linked up for the first time in over a decade to bury the hatchet. We always hear for buried beef. Pause. Shout out French Montana and Jim Jones.
Jesus, pause.
Man,
shout out to them, man. Who knew they was beefing? Who would even remember that? Yeah, but that's really cool. Both of them have grown up. This is stuff like this is what I mean. These are some more games peers. See what they're making headlines for? See what game making headlines for?
Plus, old rappers beefing is that's corny, right? Anyway.
Yeah, the only two niggas that can get away with that is 50 and Ja and Jeezy and Gucci.
Let both of them slide.
Those are the only rappers that are allowed to, like, we understand to the death, y'all good, okay, we get it.
Cool. Everybody else
got to squash it.
That's a fact, man. On Decker of the Week, who do we got, man? We took it to Facebook.
Facebook, man, on Deck of the Week. Shout out our homie Mike Jones over there at the Banging on the Lunch Tables podcast and doing his thing on the broadcast view too, man. He's been pulling up with the verses. He's been asking in the group chat and on his own page as well, you know, who are the better MCs? Who are some of the comparable MCs? He did 3-6 and Bone. He did Tupac and Biggie. He did Big Sean and Wale. So he's been doing some dope quarantine content over there on his end. Y'all go visit his page, man. We appreciate him keeping the conversation going in the rap chat, man.
Absolutely, man. Good conversations going on under these comments, under these headings, good debates. Shout out to Mike Jones. We appreciate that. Chicago, stand up. Before we get out of here, put me on something, man. I need something good, dog, because it's just getting crazy out here.
Yes, it is. I'm going to do a reverse put you on because we talked about this off air, so you already know about this. But a couple things that go with it. I've been reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the audio book.
That's a awesome. Classic.
Yeah, awesome. And the biggest takeaway that I have, similar to what you said, is I'm mad that I'm just now reading this at my age.
Yeah.
Anybody that I considered to be teaching me something when I was coming up has failed because they didn't give me this book. I'm pissed about that. So with that being said, but I also am reading The Richest Man in Babylon and Unfuck Yourself. It's kind of like, it's not one of those cheesy self-help books, but it's like kind of like get your shit together book and helps you push it in perspective. So a lot of literature on my put you ons. What do you got?
First of all, that Rich Dad Poor Dad is a classic. I read it probably a month and a half ago for the first time. And the fact that nobody gave me that when I was 10, I feel some type of way. If I'm lucky enough to have kids, they're going to hate me because as soon as they can read, they'll be reading that once a year until they're memorized.
Sitting that on my kids' nightstand.
They're going to be so, they're going to hate me.
I start renting out Airbnbs. I'm going to put it on the nightstand like they do the Bible in the hotels and everything. Here you go. Read this.
That's a fact. What I'm gonna put you on, man, is a podcast that I was a guest on. Shout out to my homegirl CJ. She has the Sorry to Hear That podcast. I recorded that, man, a couple of months ago, and she put it out just recently. She basically talks to people who have lost loved ones and kind of how they deal with it. So I was on there talking about my brother's situation. I had never really went into detail like that before, so. Man, y'all check it out, man, because it could be helpful. It was super therapeutic for me. The link is in my bio on IG. It's the Sorry to Hear That podcast. It's on everything, man. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, the whole nine. So y'all check that out, man. It was super, super good. That was a therapeutic experience that I needed. So I'm glad. Shout out to CJ, man, for inviting me.
That's really dope, man. That's really dope. I'm going to tap into that with my loss that I've just occurred. But that's really dope right there. I'm going to check that out. Anything else for the fans before we get out of here?
Man, no, man. Y'all stay safe. Listen, if y'all want to get out the house, man, go for it. Have fun.
Yeah.
Get a haircut to go nowhere. They opened up the movie theater.
Why y'all in quarantine? Shoot us some suggestions, man. What y'all would like to hear from the On Deck TV podcast? I know we haven't been servicing you guys as far as the video and the YouTube aspect, but we do have access to do this as we're doing it now. So if you guys, you know, want to hear like a quick topic that Animal Brown and myself could go back and forth on, something that the fans want to hear, throw your submission in there. You may win On Deck of the Week, and we may even take it upon ourselves to do it here.
Yeah.
So try us out, man. Shoot us some quarantine topics that you'd like to hear us discuss.
Absolutely, man. And of course, always iTunes, comment, rate, subscribe. And man, we'll see y'all next week.
We out.
Peace.